Okay, everybody, I'm in a series called Farewell 2020. You knew, first whole month, we got to just keep saying bye-bye, amen? So here's our main text, and then we're going to go on a journey again, okay? These are the words of the Apostle Paul to the believers in Philippi. Philippians 3:13, and I tell you what, everybody, I know everybody has some different translations of it, but I want us to put up the one that I'm using because it's the best. I'm just kidding. John the Baptist used it. I think we should too. I'm kidding. Okay. I want us to read it out loud. Would you join me? Okay, let's read it out loud. And let the Spirit of the Lord make this come alive in you. Ready? Together. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He said, I've made the decision, but it's not just for the Apostle Paul. It's for all of you, all of you. I know what my choice is. You got to make your own decision what yours is. You can live in the past. You can look at nothing but despair, or you can choose to focus on him, forget, start pressing, start reaching, because there's a prize that's better than what you're going through right now. I promise you. Can somebody say amen to that? But there's something it's going to take. It's called faith. And I want you to look at your neighbor, air five them, and say this. Tell them, say, it takes faith to say farewell. Amen. You can be seated in the house of God. And I know sometimes people think it's easy. It's hard to get to something. It's hard to grab a hold of something that you don't possess. I will tell you that sometimes it's harder to let go of something than it is to grab a hold of something. Because there is a bondage of hanging on to things that God used before. I can tell you, I know there's some people that miss the move of God. I miss outpourings of the Spirit because, well, it's not like what happened back in the new when that was a real move of God in 1996. Well, in the 50s, that was a real move of God. And we're so busy hanging on to the past, we never possess what God wants to do today. It takes more faith to let go of things than it is to sometimes to attain the future prize. And there's Paul starts speaking about some. So I want to kind of go where Paul was talking about. But in Romans, Paul starts talking about a certain man in the Word of God. His name is Abraham. Abram, and God named him Abraham, which is the breath of God. And in Romans, the Bible tells us about a little bit about what he went through. And God tells him, because this is pretty incredible, because God wanted to bring out of that lineage of the Jews a Messiah named Jesus, and that he would have to create this great nation out of this lineage. And he tells Abraham this at 75 years of age. At 75 years of age, he tells him, Abram, I know that your seed in your body to produce a child is dead. I know that Sarah already has her AARP card. And I know she's never had a baby, but she's going to have a baby. And just look up into the heavens, because as many stars as you see are going to be your descendants. And nations will be blessed through you. Because what would really be the blessing is Jesus Christ, the salvation for all of those. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but if I pulled you up today and you're 75 years of age and I prophesied over you, you're going to have a baby, I think you'd change churches. And some of you go, oh, no, please, God, no. Please, God, no. But this guy really thought this is, how can this possibly happen? But Paul reflects on this that happened to Abraham and Sarah, and he reflects on it in the book of Romans, and it's part about possessing the prize but having to say farewell to things. And I'm going to go on this for the next two Sundays, but I want you to look at Romans 4:18. He says, even when there was no reason for hope, I guess so. I mean, it's going to be 100 years old by the time this happens, you know. I mean, nothing's going to fix this. There's no fizz in the Coca-Cola here, God. There's no hope. Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Just good as dead. I mean, he's not even breathing. This is not going to happen. And you all know the story. It did happen, and we are experiencing that blessing of his faith. Think about that. And that's why Abraham is characterized as a person of great faith. Not just faith, but great faith. In fact, when you read the scripture and you look in Hebrews, he's called the father of many nations. And he's even called the father of faith, that he believed. And if you look in the Old Testament, you will see that God in the Old Testament called him friend. And he called him friend twice. The only time a person in the Old Testament was called a friend was when God called Abraham a friend, and he called him twice a friend. Why was this? Why was he a friend that God would mention it twice? I'll tell you the reason why. Because Hebrews 11:6 explains it. It says, and without what, everybody? Without what, everybody? Faith. It is impossible to please God. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he said he would do, and I will act upon it when he says do. So faith gave him the power to say farewell to the past, even at 100 years of age, farewell to the past, and welcome to the promise and the prize. But I'm going to take you on a journey for the next couple of Sundays just on this one guy alone, how it is a constant journey of saying goodbye to things, even good things, in order for you to possess the prize God has for you. So let me show you something about Abram. Two points this morning. I want you to write these down real quick because they're really going to bless you. First of all, the Bible says the reason why he was a friend of God and why he pleased God was Abraham would go. He would go in faith. There was action. He would act upon something. He would go. So let's go to Genesis chapter 12 to kind of find out what all that meant, the context of what Paul was saying. And here's where the story is. Genesis 12, and I want you to hang here because this is really good. In fact, get your Bible out because you're going to have to cross-reference some things here. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, leave," everybody say the word leave, "leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go." Everybody say go. "Go to the land that I will show you." So he says, "I will show you." He didn't say, "I have shown you." He said, "I will show you." There are too many of us that finally want to make the decisions when we finally do it. It's like giving. It's like worshiping God in your giving. "Well, you know, Pastor, when I get the promotion that they're promising me, and it could come in a couple of years, then I'm going to start getting involved." No, you want to have it all before you go. God says, "I want you to take a step, and I want you to go, and I'll show you as you take your steps." I love our offices. We try to be really eco-friendly here around the church. We like to recycle. We like to be good stewards of everything that we have. And even the light switches, we took light switches out of hallways and we put these automatic lights in there so when you walk in, you just go. But when you start out, it's dark. And then when you finally move, it finally pops on. Can I tell you, that's kind of like what God does with us, is that sometimes you always want the light switch on I want to see everything before I go. But sometimes you just got to start walking in the dark, and finally God will open up the light and he'll begin to reveal a little bitty piece to you. See, some of you want to make sure that you have the right neighborhood you're in, you get the right schooling, you get the right job, you get the right girlfriend. No. God says this man left his nation, he left his relatives, his father's family, and he just went going to a place that he didn't even know. They're going to say, "Where are you going?" "I don't know. I'm just going until God says this is it." Look what he says. "I'll show you." He says, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you." Here's the deal. When you focus and you forget, when you leave and when you go, then the blessing starts to happen. If the blessing isn't happening to you, could it be that you're clinging to something that God says to let go, And then when he says, let go, you don't go. He says, I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. The real thing is here is he was going, leaving and going, leaving and going. And that's the biggest deal of this. And some of you go, well, I'm just not sure I believe all that. Well, if you don't believe me, believe Winnie the Pooh. I love when he says, I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. If you don't believe me, just believe the theologian Pooh. It says Abraham walked away from his past. Maybe the reason why you're not getting to where you need to go is you haven't left where you are. If you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got. And he walked away. Abraham walked away. It says, now get this, it walked away from his family and what his family represented. Do you know how big in that context of that culture it was to tell your mom and dad, I'm out of here? I mean, even from my mom's Asian culture, when my mom left Indonesia, she was the eldest of all of the children. There's this Chinese-Indonesian influence, and to walk away from your family as the eldest, you were responsible for taking care of your children. To walk away and leave, my mother had to leave her country, leave her relatives, and walk away. There's an enormous amount of guilt because in that culture of Asian culture, you were to take care of your family. And I remember one day I looked at my mom, I said, Mom, I want to tell you something. I want to thank you for walking away from your country, from walking away from your family, because if you would have not walked away from that, you would have never walked into a crusade to hear Billy Graham preach. You'd have never walked your kids out of paganism. Your son would be a Buddhist priest in a Buddhist temple, but today I am where I am, and I am who I am because somebody had to walk away from something that can so entrench you, even family. There's some of you that aren't even finding the new things God has for you. There are so many people, even in churches today, that do not find the power of the Holy Spirit because family is tying them down to something. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're letting on because somebody's watching me and you keep coming back and watch me, but family's held you from finding the deeper things that God has for you. So come on, just keep on drinking from the well. You'll get drunk with Jesus. I got to clarify everything I say now. Let me explain this, what it represented. Let me just show you what it represented for Abraham. So let me go there. If you'll read the scripture in Genesis chapter 11, that's why it's good to read the Bible, so make sure what I'm saying is true. It says that Terah, his father, decided to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans, to leave that and take his family and move to a place called Canaan. We all know that Canaan was the promised land that God was going to give to his people. Remember that? But his father started out to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans to head toward Canaan. Now, if you'll study this place, the people there worshiped a lot. Not one god. It was not monotheistic. There were a whole bunch of gods. You just pick the one you want. And they worshiped all these gods. In fact, the city's patron god was the moon god, Nana. Nana was the patron moon god that they worshiped. And out of that, he had all these other little sub-deities and all this stuff. Abraham's family worshiped these other gods. They were polytheistic. They worshiped a lot of gods. They prayed in the name of a lot of gods, bunches of them. So when you see this happen in our nation, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Abraham's family was polytheistic. In fact, several commentaries, several theologians' resources suggest that the name Terah, Laban, and Haran were named after moon gods or their sub-deities or their associates. Their names were not God-given names. They came from these other pagan gods. So, friends, what I'm trying to tell you is that there's something here that's happening to Abraham that's different than his family. So bits of Hebrew tradition teach us that Abraham refused to participate in his family's religious practice, implying this, that God was called him and not his family, called him to set apart from others because he saw something in Abram that he would not go to these other gods. There was something in him that was driving. He had some kind of an encounter, some kind of an experience with God. The Bible doesn't say it, but he had some kind of encounter that said all these other gods are false gods. Something happened to him. So much so that he would follow the two verbal commands. You wanna say farewell to something? You really wanna walk the blessing of God? Well, there's something you're gonna have to say. I'm gonna leave and I'm gonna cleave. There's nothing more dysfunctional in a marriage when a boy will not leave his mama and cleave to his wife. Well, how come you don't make my mashed potatoes like mama made? Mama made, she made those mashed potatoes. She whipped up, she put in heavy cream, and she put in 2 sticks of butter. I want you to cook it like my mama. Here's what I'd say. Hey, I tell you what, once you go live with mama, let mama be the one to take care of you. You let mama go cook your meals, okay? Go on. But my daddy, why don't you go move in with your daddy? It's one thing to be able to give counsel to your kids. It's another thing to control your children. When God says leave and cleave. I'm preaching better than letting all. It's so quiet in here. Did I hit a nerve or something? I must have been prophesying. I guess I'm more on than I realize. Amen. So but the scripture, so he said leave and go. And this guy, Abraham, acted on it. He acted on it. But I want to tell you, he wasn't the only one that acted on it. I'm going to show you in just a moment. He wasn't the only one that acted on it. But I'm going to show why he's mentioned and the other one is forgotten. I'm going to show you. It's interesting. But the scripture doesn't say anything. But there was some kind of encounter that he had with the holy glory, the glory of a holy God. And that, friends, is when he had that encounter with the holy God that he said, I'm going to leave my family, which was a big deal. I'm going to go where it's going because I don't even have the plan. I don't even know where I'm going, but I'm going to go. He had an encounter with the holy God, and thus monotheism was reborn. And Abraham said, here's what I can't do if I stick around this town and I stick around with these people. He said, I'll keep trying to add God. They don't mind me bringing God. They don't mind me praying in the name of Jesus. Just add him to all the other ones we have. Do you think the devil is threatened by you adding Jesus to everything else? Absolutely not. What he doesn't like is when all of your allegiance and all your worship goes to a holy God and him alone. That's where he gets ticked off. He doesn't mind you folding him in. He doesn't mind you praying in the name of Brahma. He doesn't mind Buddha, Allah. He don't mind that. Just lump him in with everything. That's not his beef at all. It's when you declare him as the one true holy God and there is no other. That's where the rub is. He didn't, and Abram said, I'm not going to add. Listen, Abram said, I will not add a new God to the one I know is the holy true God. And there's only one way that that can happen to you. It's when you have an encounter with the glory of God himself. Only when you have, see, because anybody that's going, well, I just disagree with it. Well, disagree. You're your own person. I can't control you. Disagree. Now, let me tell you the reason why I believe that there's only one true holy God. Here's the reason why. You can't have it until you have an encounter with the holy, true, living God. Only when you have an encounter with him, only when you experience him, only when you see him working it in your life, do you say, Father, I see you working this in me. I'm walking away from all the others, and I'm clinging totally to you. Only an encounter with the holy God. So my answer to anybody is you got to do the same thing that Abraham did and the same thing I had to do. I had to have an encounter with the holy, living God as a friend of God that I said, I'm walking away from everything else, and I will not fold him into the others that I've had. And I don't know what your other answer. I have no other answer for you. Got to have an encounter with him. But see, what happens is everybody settles. They just settle. They're settled. And there's a lot of people. Can I just tell you, everybody, not everybody makes the journey. God, it breaks God's heart that they don't make the journey. But what happens is when people are saying, oh, okay, I'm going to say farewell. I'm going to try this thing out. You don't try. You go all the way out with him. Because if you don't go all the way out with him, you settle. Everybody say settle. You settle by just adding God in with it. So look, you can make it really clear about polytheism. It's been in the culture for a long time, clear back to Abraham. You see it today. You saw it in the 117th Congress. You know, everybody's getting wigged out. It's always been there. Yep. Just fold God in with everything. And so we as Christians go, yeah, they got to stop that. But I have another question. why is it that we want to keep sleeping around in the dating relationship and still coming to church and raise our hands? It's okay. I'm just going to fold him in with my sinful life. I'm just going to fold him in. He can just be a part of it. We're just as guilty as a polytheist. Oh, I praise God, I praise God, I pray. But you treat people that are not your race or not like you differently. You cheat God in your IRS return. You cheat God in your giving. You're just folding God in with the God of mammon. So we can point the finger at the world and say, I can see that, boy, putting all these other names. But yet we as believers can be so quick to just let him come alongside with our sinful dysfunction and just fold him into it when God says, here's what I'm going to do. I want to walk you out of this, that you start seeing that your allegiance is totally to me because my allegiance is totally to you. Walk away from it. Because anything else than that, you're only living half your life. You're settling. For almost, settling for half, or settling for sin. Let me show you, because it wasn't only given to Abram. There was another person that could have had this too, and they blew it. That's why you don't hear him in Scripture at all, except for this one moment. It's the saddest Scripture in the Bible. Genesis 11:31. You remember Terah, the father, was the one taken out. Here's what happened. It says, one day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abraham's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from the Ur of the Chaldeans. This is where all that paganism was going on. Moved him. He was headed for the land of Canaan. He was headed for the promise. God had revealed something. I know I need to get there. He was headed for Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. On the journey, but all of a sudden, do we really want to go all the way out? You know, maybe this Jesus thing is just a little too much. Maybe this commitment thing to Jesus, just a little too much. You know, maybe, you know, God is too hard. No, maybe you and I have gotten too soft. And they stopped in Herod and settled there. It says, Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. And Haran was a pagan place. It was not the full out go all the way, but God says, listen, your daddy tried, but you can't just settle there. You've got your whole family behind you. You got people that are going to be responsible. The salvation of the whole humanity, he didn't realize it, was hinged on this one decision to walk away from all of it and sell out completely to God. Friends, because you and I cannot settle, we cannot live halfway, we can't be almost there, we can't live a halfway sinful life and just fold God into it. God told Abraham, he says, leave the country and go to the land I'm going to show you. Because when you do it, there's a blessing that is waiting for you. And then he says, it's not just a blessing for you. He says, other nations are going to be blessed by your decision to say farewell and go in faith that you can have the prize of God. I'm here to tell somebody, you've watched your whole family go through the same thing, and they sat in churches, lifted their hands, and held their Bibles in their hands, but somebody didn't sell out completely. And you saw the hypocrisy even in your own family, that even some of your own siblings said, if that's the way God is and mom and dad do that and they go to church, I'm having nothing to do with it. Well, it's because your mom and dad did a Terah thing and they didn't go all the way. They were headed to a place, but they wouldn't totally say, I'm break loose and I'm set free. But I'm here to announce to you, you're the one that's going to break free for your entire family. You are setting a whole new path for your family, a whole new lineage of blessing for God. You're going to break off the cycles of sin. You're going to break off the closet conduct and the hidden behaviors that others wouldn't talk about. You're going to expose it before God and say, God, I'm selling out for you completely. I'm walking this journey out and I'm going in faith because there's a blessing. And I'm taking my family, I'm taking my spouse, I'm taking my kids, I'm taking my neighborhood, I'm taking my city, I'm taking everybody with me. The blessing is not just for you, but it's your choice. Terah had to make a decision. Terah just didn't have the encounter that Abraham was willing to go after. It takes faith to say farewell. Whew. Oh. I felt like I preached a whole sermon. Okay, y'all go home. I probably should just stop right there. Because there's some of us that struggle. It's not my preaching that's done it. I'm going to tell you, it's not my preaching that did it. I'm going to tell you, it's that you and God have been having this conversation for a long time. Sir, the Holy Spirit's been talking to you about it. Pastor Sam is just reinforcing what he's been telling you. I've got so much for you and your house. Break away. Leave and go where I'm sending you. Well, there's some families that are getting ready to see a major outpouring of favor come on them in this place watching online. I'm telling you, some of you, it's like the light went on and said, this is the day. I mean, this is it. Kids, I just got to tell you, you got to find your own encounter with God and not live off your parents. My kids got to do it. You got to do it. You can't live off my faith. I can be an influence and an example to you, but you got to make the decision. And maybe the reason you're so mad at maybe people around you that are having an encounter, we're not perfect, but God's trying to speak to you and say, I don't want you to go almost or half. I want you to go all the way to the favor that I've got set before you. But you got to say farewell to some stuff. Okay, I'm going to give you my last point, and then we're going to go home. Abram had to go in faith. But then he had to grow in faith. Okay, this is the one I want to get you, because this is the one that I get most discouraged in my own life, because I start heaping condemnation on myself because I go, man, I wish I could sell out more like that. How many of y'all feel that sometimes? I just wish I could be as holy as, you know, Sister Beulah. She's so holy. She doesn't wear makeup, doesn't even want to play Uno. I mean, her recipes are in tongues. She's so spiritual. She's got that big old bun that she wears and pins it up high because a woman's hair is her glory. She's got that big old bun, and she lives in bondage her whole life. And I wish I could just be like her. So what happens is, because you don't get to where somebody else you see is, you drop out. Don't drop out, okay? Don't drop out. You got to be careful. There's some part that's conviction and some part that's condemnation. Condemnation always pushes you out. Conviction always wants to keep bringing you in. You see it, but it keeps making you going, I got to get more. I got to get more of that. Condemnation pushes you away, say, I'll never get it. Conviction says, oh, yes, you can, and keeps pulling you back. It shows you, but it keeps pulling you back. I didn't write that stuff in my notes. This is good stuff today, Pastor Sam. That's Citizen Sam talking to Pastor Sam. Okay, here we go. Let's go. I got to get this knocked out. Here we go. Ready? Faith always sees the potential. He would grow in faith. My point is that faith sees the potential. Genesis chapter 12. Now watch, stay with me on this, okay? So I talk fast and I want to excite. I talk slow when I'm trying to make a point. Watch this. In Genesis 12, God says to him, I'm going to make you into a great nation. He's going, yeah, right. We're senior citizens, okay? We're getting discount coffee at the drive-thru at McDonald's. It's not going to happen. 10 years later, watch this. At 75, God tells him this. 75. 10 years later, it still hasn't happened. 10 years later, it still hasn't happened. Some of you think this was just big, explosive faith. It was not. I'm going to show you something. This is powerful. In Genesis 15, Abraham is reflecting on what God told him last 10 years ago. But he's not reflecting and saying, oh, the Lord's good, I'm holding on to this. No, he's not. He is lamenting in his tent. He's going, this is just isn't going to happen. And if you'll go read it in Genesis 15, do you remember what he said? He went and said, he says, I'm childless. God reminds him, and he says, I'm childless, and my servant will be my heir. Not Sarah. That's not going to happen. Okay? That's not going to happen. My heir can be that. And then God does something so touching to a believer who is unbelieving.
This is so touching. I just want you to see that God, if you failed, God's not beating you up, but he does want you to respond. Now watch this. God does something so extremely touching at this point. And God says, Abe, come here, buddy. Come here. Genesis 15, 5. He's lamenting in the tent. 10 years later. This is not faith, because he said, let my heir do it. Not my wife, not me, somebody else. God then took, look, Genesis 15, 5 says, then the Lord took Abraham outside, said, come here, buddy, and said to him, I want you to look up, look up, look up. Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can do it. That's how many descendants you're going to have. Was it 10 years ago that God told you something about your career? Was it 16 years ago that God, when you dedicated that child to the Lord and held him up, but now they're turning away from God, that God showed you something about your child? And are you lamenting in your tent? I just think I'm going to get out of this. If God's word is true, I'm just going to get out of this. Are you lamenting in your tent? Well, God told me he healed me, but I'm still going through all this and I can't. Are you lamenting in your tent? My life is over. There's no hope. They left me. I don't have them anymore in my life. Are you in your tent lamenting? And here's what God's doing. He is gently grabbing a hold of you and says, I want you to see the potential of what I told you. So I'm not going to give it to you yet, but I want you to come on out here. I'm going to use Pastor Sam to preach this word to you today. I don't want you to come out of your tent of timidity. I want you to come out of the den of doubt. I want you to come out of your cave of your chaos, and I want to show you, this is what I'm going to show you. Things are not as they appear. And there's some of you lamenting. Well, by now I thought I'd be married. By now I thought I'd have a child. But now you think this country would be straightened out. God says, I want to take you out of the den of your doubt, the cave of your chaos, the tent of your timidity, and I want you to come out. And he gently, what my point is this, is don't quit in the process toward the potential of what God showed you. Don't drop out of the class if he told you, and you know he told you. Don't do it. Because faith sees your potential. You're in the tent. You're not there. But come on out. That's why I say, get in the presence of God, get in praise and worship, and you'll start seeing things that God showed you a long time ago. All right, here's the last one part of that. Listen, is that faith is also a process. He would grow in faith. Everybody say, faith grows. Say that. That's, you really got to get that. And people say, well, I just thought faith was, I'm Assembly of God. People go, have you ever heard that? What faith are you? Well, I'm Catholic. What faith are you? Well, I'm non-denominational. That's not faith. That's a label. It happens all the time, every political cycle. I got to tell you what, I come from the great line of the Bahoo. What's that? What was that? Babe the Pig. That's what it is. I always use that, and I don't know why I use Babe the Pig. Now watch, let's go back to Paul, what he said. Let's go back to what Paul said. Romans chapter, are y'all learning anything here? Okay, watch this. Romans 4:20. Oh, I like that music. I feel the anointing. Thank you, Pastor Drew. Because this is going to be a good point. Pastor Drew, we love you, buddy. We love you. Now watch this. Don't let it go to your head, but we love you. Amen. Okay, verse 20. Abraham never wavered. Now watch this. Never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, everybody read the next four words with me. Say it out loud. His faith grew stronger. Watch this. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully, watch this, convinced. So if you're fully convinced, there was a time you weren't fully convinced. And if you're growing, it means that you weren't there at one point. Are you following this? He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. What is faith? Faith is that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he said he would do. But I'm not fully convinced and I'm not grown there yet. See, because when you read that, some of you think, man, he was on fire all the time. Yeah, I'm going to have that baby. Going to have that baby. Come on, Sarah, it's time. Let's go try and make a baby. Take 25 years. Let's go make a baby. Let's go make a baby. Come on, let's go. No, he was not that. He's going. I'm tired. I'm 75 years old, and 75-year-olds are two things they won't pass up, a bathroom and a nap. I'm going to. I preach in the way God gives them. I'm sorry. That's just the way they come out, everybody. I'm sorry. It's just I preach in the way he gives them. Hang with me, because I'm going to tell you, some of you have beat yourself up because you're still dealing with an addiction. And I'm talking about walking away from things, and you feel condemned because you hadn't been able to do it yet. There's some of you that say, I want to believe God for my healing, Pastor, but I'm going to tell you, I see a diagnosis here. I want to believe for my finances, but Pastor, I'm already retired. It's already locked up, shut up. This is all I get from Social Security, and there's no way God's going to get me out of this. Pastor, you don't understand of all the things that I've been through and the things I wish I could have redone, and I feel like I'm paying the price now for what I did then. I'm going to tell you something, that you're condemning yourself because you feel like you have not attained to somebody else that you see in the body of Christ or even in the Word. And because you don't see it, you say, well, just give up. I'm just going to be who I am. You're really not being who you are and what God made you to be, because he's got so much more. Don't go to almost or half and stop in Haran. Go all the way. Go all the way. So here's what Abraham did. When you read that scripture, Abraham did not deny his condition. He didn't acknowledge he was old. It's one thing to acknowledge you're old, but it's another thing when the Bible says, he's good as dead. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Sarah, let's go try this baby thing God told us. You good as dead, old man. What? He acknowledged his condition. There are some people that do not want to deny their problem. I don't deny the existence of the problem. I just deny the problem the right to exist. It's there, but I know what God said. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I know what he said. And then he acknowledges his soul. Listen, his soul, not his spirit, his soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. His soul's inability to believe God's promise any longer. He even admits that he can't believe it. Because now, by the time 75 hits, we're talking 100 years old. 25 years has lapsed, and he feels that he is wavering in his mind, will, and emotions to believe it, and even knows his body's past it. But, even through unbelief, the Bible said he chose to exalt God's word. He said, I don't understand it. I kind of disbelieve it, but here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to stop praising my God and the work of the process, because at some point, if I keep praising him and I keep working through the process, I'm going to overcome what I see as a reality. My body's dead, and I've got some unbelief in my heart. Now, some of you are going to go, wait a minute. He was faith all the way. No, he wasn't. I'll prove it to you. Abraham came to a level of unwavering faith by the time Isaac was conceived. He wasn't there before that very long. He was fully convinced by the time she said, I think I'm going to throw up. But until God finals announcement, they would have a son, both he and Sarah were wavering. How do we know they were wavering? How do we know? Because in Genesis chapter 17, are you following the chronological order of things? By Genesis 17, 15, 21, Abraham practically begged God to allow Ishmael to be the son through Hagar, the flesh, to fulfill the promise. He's begging God to use Ishmael, the one that he produced by flesh. begging him to use him. That's how we know he was unbelief. And then in Genesis 18, verses 10 through 15, go read your Bible, see if I'm telling you the truth. By the time you hit Genesis 18, 10 through 15, 1 year, this is 1 year. Now listen, 1 year before Isaac was born, Abraham and Sarah were in such utter disbelief that they both could conceive that his seed would come alive and her womb would come alive. They were in such unbelief that when they were told again 1 year before it, they both cynically laughed at God that it would never happen. So don't go, he was full of faith. Oh, no, 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 no. Both cynically laughed. So you're saying, well, the Bible, there it is. One of them contradictions in the Bible. It's not a contradiction, not at all. That's why it says Abraham grew in faith until he was fully convinced. He grew until he was fully convinced. So if both Abraham and Sarah were in blatant unbelief exactly 1 year before Isaac's birth, but were strong in faith by the time she conceived the seed that was in Abraham, that means they got fully convinced in 3 months. 3 months. Are you seeing the time here? Because they were laughing over here because they didn't believe it. Still didn't, it's not going to happen. But by the time he conceived, that means in 3 months, they became fully convinced, this is God. This is God. Don't be condemned if you're struggling with a promise. Your faith is growing. And when you don't believe, would you just start praising God through the unbelief? And don't give up at the promise of almost or halfway or sin. Say, God, I'm going all the way with you. It's almost as if God sees him doing this all the time and God says, Abraham, I see what you're doing. I see what you guys are doing. In fact, I've seen the dumb thing you just did with Hagar, but I'm going to keep reaching out to you. Do you all see how God does not condemn, but he keeps working with you? The problem is you hear great teachers and you compare yourself to other people's faith and you say, I have no faith. Listen, if Sarah and Abraham went from no faith to great faith in 3 months, so can you. So can you. So can you. Because faith comes through the seed principle. It's a seed. It's not, God doesn't give you an oak tree. He gives you a nut. He gives you a nut. And that's all we are. We're a bunch of nuts in here. And he says, keep watering it. Keep cultivating. Don't walk away from your faith. Don't walk away from that seed you planted. Keep on staying in the house of God. Stay with people. I know some people in the body of Christ are jerks, but don't let them keep you from staying in the Word of God. Keep on pursuing the Lord. Keep on praying. Keep on fasting. Keep on giving. Keep on believing. Even when you're in unbelief, because he in a moment, in 3 months, he exploded fully convinced. God is going to pull this thing off. In 3 months, he was fully convinced that God's going to do this. I don't know when it's going to happen for you, but keep reading the Word. Keep speaking the Word. Stay in the Word. And revelation comes and understanding comes. God, here's what you're doing, even if it took 25 years. How many know, friends? You got to guard that faith from weeds. You got to give it nutrients. You got to watch the insects that want to eat it alive. But how many know, friends, it takes faith to say farewell, to achieve what God has. How many are ready for God just to explode great faith in us? Come on, amen. Woo!